Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Where is the hottest place you've ever been? For me, it was probably southern Utah during the summer when it was 102 degrees outside. What about the coldest place? I lived in Siberia for a couple of years, and it got to be negative 40 degrees there. That was really cold. It's incredible to think about how so many places in the world can have such opposite climates. Some areas are hot and dry, others are cold and wet. It makes sense that different climates have different animals that have adapted to survive in their specific environments. But can you think of an animal that can survive in all climates all over the world? Today, we're going to be talking to some experts who study an animal that can do just that. A nematode, or nematode. You can say it both ways.
One of the things I love about nematode worm is that they were some of the first animal lineages to ever evolve on the planet. So they've been around for a long time, and they've filled every single niche on the planet. So every place on the planet that life can exist, they pretty much do exist. And I love that.
This is Byron Adams. He's a biology professor at Brigham Young University and an expert on nematodes.
A famous nematologist said you could look at the Earth from the moon, and if you dissolve away everything except the nematodes, you'd still be able to see the mountains and the rivers and the valleys. And I love that idea that they are just so abundant and numerous and diverse on our planet.
So what are nematodes exactly? Well, they're worms, just not the type that you'd see outside on the sidewalk after a rainy day. Nematodes are teeny tiny worms, so small that you'd need a microscope in order to see them clearly.
I was in graduate school when I really got serious about nematodes. I was in a lab that studied toads, like T-O-A-D-S, like the amphibians, like those things. And there was another lab on campus where they studied nematodes. It turns out that other lab on campus with the nematodes was awesome, and it was a terrific opportunity for me to ask and answer cool questions about evolutionary biology that I was really excited about. And so that's when I took the deep dive.
Byron got super excited about nematodes because he knew that there was a lot that he could learn from the microscopic creatures. But what makes nematodes so special? Why can they teach us so much?
They are animals. They're like us, you know, they got a mouth, they got an intestine, they got reproductive systems and things like that. And so as small and simple as they are, they can tell us a lot about what it means to be an animal and how animals have come to be on the planet. A lot of the genes that they have, like basic functional genes that are involved in things like growth and behavior and reproduction, like we have the very same genes that they have. So they're a really great animal model.
Nematodes have all the attributes of animals, so we can learn about ourselves when we study nematodes. However, nematodes are able to survive all sorts of things that humans could never survive. And Byron sees that firsthand as he does experiments in his lab.
If you wanted to start doing experiments on them, like, you know, I don't know, lighting them on fire or like freezing them or smashing them and taking their DNA, they're a really great animal model. It sounds like I'm a mean guy, but the reality is that I'm incredibly curious because I've seen whatever it is that we're doing to them happen to them, like in the real world. Like I've seen them dry to a crisp. I've seen them being frozen in a block of ice. I've seen them get like blasted with UV radiation, right? So what I want to do is I just want to do that to them, like the experience in the natural world, but I want to do it in a way so that I can figure out how they survive that.
So that's what Byron does. He conducts experiments on nematodes, sometimes freezing them, sometimes burning them, and sometimes blasting them with light, all to see how these little worms react. Lots of university students work in Byron's lab with him, and sometimes those students go on to study nematodes as well. This was the case for Adler Dillman, another nematode expert and professor at UC Riverside.
What initially really attracted me to nematodes is when I started working in Byron's lab, he introduced me to entomopathogenic nematodes.
Whoa, that's a big name. Say it with me. Entomopathogenic nematodes. These types of nematodes are parasites, which means that they live on or inside of another living thing.
Insect parasitic nematode. So these will infect and kill insects. And as Byron explained, and as I learned about the life cycle of those nematodes, I became riveted. Byron explained that here you have this parasitic worm that's in a non-feeding, non-aging life stage in the soil. It's moving around. It's looking for an insect to infect. It finds one. It crawls into it through natural openings. It then defecates highly pathogenic bacteria into that insect, liquefies the interior of it, turns it into like an insect milkshake, and then begins to multiply. And soon what started out as like 10 or maybe 100 of these nematodes at the beginning, now you have tens of thousands of nematodes coming out of it, and they're all looking for new insects to infect. To me, that was like, this could be, you know, the next big movie. It was fascinating. I couldn't believe there was something on the planet that lives that way. I was hooked.
Adler became interested in nematodes because of this freaky parasitic nematode. But not all nematodes act this way. There are a lot of different types of nematodes all over the world, and scientists are super interested in learning different lessons from different nematodes. For instance, some other nematodes that Adler studies are excellent jumpers.
They can jump, and they're like Olympian-quality jumpers. And when they jump, they rotate end over end. I mean, like somersault. And they can jump like 10 times their body length height, right? So they jump 9, 10 millimeters high, and they're only 1 millimeter maybe in length. Only certain species are capable of doing that jump, but it's really fascinating. And we think it may be involved both in their ability to disperse in the environment, but also maybe as a host-seeking behavior to attach to passing insects.
Wow, imagine being able to jump like a nematode. A 1 millimeter worm being able to jump 10 millimeters is like if you could jump over 4 school buses stacked on top of each other. In addition to these cool nematodes that Adler has looked at, Byron, that first scientist we talked to earlier, has studied other nematodes that have been frozen for thousands of years.
Some permafrost that was carbon dated to about 20 and 40,000 years old. And they removed some moss that was in that, and they revived some Plectus, which is a genus of nematode.
Amazing. Even after being frozen for up to 40,000 years, that nematode could be brought back to life. If those nematodes could survive after being frozen for so long, maybe they could teach us humans some interesting things.
There's some biomedical research implications for this, right? Because the animals are able to go into suspended animation for 40,000 years, right? And so if you think about biomedical applications, that'll include things like, hey, can we make freeze-dried blood, like blood that you can sit on the shelf that could be your very own? And you just, you know, mix it up with some of the chemicals that these nematodes use in order to do the same trick. And then all of a sudden, you've got a product that used to have a very short shelf life, now has a really long shelf life, right? So you can save a lot more human lives if you could do that.
Nematode research has the ability to save human lives. And if that's not cool enough for you, one time while researching, Adler made an incredible discovery.
So we had asked this colleague in Thailand to send us 3 particular species. We mashed them up and sequenced some of the DNA. And one of the species they had sent us was not what it was labeled as. It was actually a species that had not yet been described. It was different from all of the sequences in the database.
Adler and his lab discovered a new species of nematodes.
We're always excited to get new species of insect parasitic nematodes because they might have new properties. They might thrive in particular climates. They might infect certain kinds of insects better. And so as we were looking at and describing this particular nematode, you have to get to the point where you need to give it a name. You can't just call it some number anymore. And as I was thinking about what to name it, I just really felt like it would be fitting to name it after Byron because he's the one that introduced me to nematodes in the first place. And it's Steinernema adamsi, after Byron Adams.
That's awesome. Not only did Adler get to find a new nematode, but he was able to name it after Byron, his friend and mentor. For Adler and Byron, studying nematodes is an exciting adventure. As they learn more and more about these tiny little creatures that cover our planet, they're able to discover new things about life on Earth in general.
As I study biology, as I study the creatures that live on this planet, as I learn more about life, to me, that's a religious pursuit. In learning about the molecules and about how these animals interact with each other, with their environments, I'm learning about life. And to me, it's enhanced my appreciation for the beauty of the earth.
Discovering the natural world around us helps us feel awe and wonder, whether you're studying large animals or tiny microscopic worms. All life, from simple nematodes to complicated humans, is worth celebrating and learning about.
A nematode is a tiny worm. It knows to eat and grow and squirm. There are billions of nematodes you may not see. They share the planet with you.
One more thing, Wonder Kids. If you're having fun with Season 2, we have a free coloring page that you can print out on our website that will help you keep track of each episode coming out every Monday. Check it out at the link in the description.
Hello, parents. I'm Marcus Smith, and I host Constant Wonder, the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. Everything you've just heard actually comes originally from Constant Wonder, the Source podcast, which happens to have some great material for kids, too, but as a grown-up, you're going to enjoy the original extended episode on Constant Wonder. It's devoted to nematodes and their importance in genetic research and biomedicine. If you'd like to hear the full presentation, find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. The episode to look for is titled Sheer Delight in Indestructible Microscopic Worms. As you listen, we think you might develop an appetite for more than just one episode. As a series, Constant Wonder is an ongoing quest for awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. Whoever said adults don't have time for wonder? A great way to connect to a world full of awe and wonder is to subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.